Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dyke-Ewood Mills. Dyke-Ewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dyke-Ewood Mills. That draws us to.
That you will never leave me. In times of trouble, you'll be my friend. But sometimes doubt and fear, they try to steal my faith. But I will run to you, and I will run to you,
and I'll just set aside the cares of this world,
fall in love with you, Jesus,
fall in love with you again. I'll just throw away the trouble this world, fall in love with
you. I know you said that I'm the apple of your eye.
Away the troubles of this world.
know you said that I'm the apple of your eyes. And for loving me, you gave your life. Oh, Lord, sometimes my heart, it just wants to pray for loving you. Oh, then I will let it rain, and I will run to you.
And I'll just set aside the cares of this world,
fall in love with you, Jesus.
Fall in love with you again.
I'll throw away the troubles.
I'll just throw away the troubles of this world and fall in love with you.
I'll set aside all the cares of this world.
I'll just set aside the cares of this world.
So I can come and fall in love with you, Jesus.
Him, I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him. I will honor him. You must love the Lord. Give him all your heart. You must love the Lord, because it's the greatest commandment, a child of God. You must love the Lord. Give him your very heart. You must love the commandment, child of God. You must love the Lord. Give him your very heart. You must love him. Hey, you must love him, sweet Jesus. Give him your very heart. With long life he'll satisfy you and show you salvation.
Amen. Amen. It's time for testimonies. Amen. I believe that today, even as people share their testimonies, God is going to speak to you. And this morning, I want you to help me welcome Rodney to share his testimony with us. Please put your hands together as we welcome Rod. Please encourage him as he comes on stage.
My name is Rodney Antonio. I'm from Anakazo Bible School, Mampong campus. And I'm also from Zimbabwe. My testimony is about how Lord saved me like 3 years ago from the life that I was living. I was working in a club and I had all this rasta hair all over me, and I was into drugs. I was an alcoholic. I was into fornication. Then 2014, I got born again. But still, when I got born again, I was living a dual life, until Apostle Kingsley came to have a conversation with us. So when he came, he sat down with me and he spoke with me, and he told me that I must be serious in church and I must also come to Bible school. But looking at my past, I was not convinced that I can be someone who can preach the word of God or someone who can work for the God, because I thought that I wasn't qualified to be that person. So I came to Bible school, but still I wasn't convinced until we went through our lectures. We did one book called Many a Code that Daddy wrote that book. And in that book, the first chapter is Why Are You Still Alive? And that chapter struck me back. And looking at my past, like the way I used to live, I would have been dead. But I am alive. But because God helped me, He delivered me from this person to what I am right now. It's a total transformation. And you might be sitting here right now, and I want to tell you that the words that Daddy wrote in all the books that he wrote, he is talking to us. Maybe he's not physically there, but in our hearts, in that book, he is there and he is talking to you. Thank you, Daddy. I really appreciate you.
Put your hands together to God for a powerful testimony. People are being transformed. People are being changed by the books. We have another testimony. Let's welcome Albert to give us his testimony. Please put your hands together as we welcome Jacob to give us his testimony. Please encourage him as he comes to share his testimony with us.
Amen. I'm Jacob Ansa from Maritime First Love. I'm a nautical science student. I'm in my second year. And in maritime, one of the major challenges students face, especially when it comes to completion, those who complete, they face the challenge of getting a job, that is a ship to work on. I'm a nautical science student, and we and the marine engineers, we usually work on a ship if you want to do what you actually learned in school. So, God being so good, last semester, a German company came to our school. They were recruiting people. So I applied. And when I applied, God being so good, I was shortlisted for interview. And when the day of interview was drawing closer, I spoke with my chief elder, Elder Hannah, and she prayed for me. And when she prayed for me, she said one thing. She said that, so far as we work in the house of the Lord, our reward is not going to go in vain. God is going to reward us, so we should have that faith. So on the day of interview, I remember they asked me a question. They asked me, the panel was white. They were just white people. So, this white people, most of the times, you know, they don't really believe in most of it. So they asked me, what have I been committed with? And I said, I've been committed to singing in church. So one asked me, because the interview was on a Monday. He asked me, so Sunday, which was yesterday, were you in church? I said, yes, I was in church. Did you sing? I said, yes, I sang. I said, wow. So when the interview was over, I was saying, hey, these people, I've talked about church. Are they going to say this guy is true? But I still believed in God. And God being so good, by the grace of God, when the results came, I was number 3 on the list. Out of the many people that were called, I was part of the few that was chosen. And I thank Daddy for encouraging us to be servants in the house of God. And through that is what has actually opened this door for me, I believe. Daddy, thank you very much for establishing First Love Maritime, for establishing branches on campuses. It has been a blessing to us. I thank Elder Hannah. When we were on campus and she's forcing us to do the ministry work, we didn't know actually she was pushing us into a place of blessing. I thank God for her life. Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. How many of you believe that you are becoming a special servant of God? Give the Lord a shout of praise. We have another testimony. Let's welcome LP Priscilla to share her testimony with us.
Hello, my name is Priscilla, and I want to thank God for the many things He's done for me, but particularly about my exam very recently. And I didn't think, okay, that was a powerful thing, but I was walking to class this week, and I saw a guy who was in my class, and we all took the exam, but then he repeated. So he has to take the year again. And I was thinking to myself that could have been me, and I decided to give the testimony. So I want to thank God for helping me in my exam, because it was the exam to help you move on to your final year. and the semester had been some way, so I really needed to pass. So we came to meet Daddy on a Sunday, and he prayed for us, and he told us that we'll pass. So we all believed this, and we went to write the exam. So I went to the exam room, and there was a picture of twins, and you had to tell whether the type of twin it was. So I saw a different thing. I saw a monochorionic monoamniotic, but I was supposed to be a die-die. So when I came out, I said, oh, God is doing great things in my life. I'm passing this exam. So I came out, and people were like, oh, did you see it was a dichorionic die? I was like, no, and I wasn't really happy. So when I went to my room, I was down. So I went to Justina's room. And I mean, the exam was so tough that you, grown-up men will come out and they are crying, because at the end, you have to meet a lecturer and he can ask you anything. So I went to her room and she was out. So I decided to turn on her laptop, play a message. And I was listening to the end of it, and Daddy was saying, it was a wisdom impartation. And he said, do not think about your mistakes, and you're going to be the next success story. And I said, that's why I came to the room, because I really need to hear this right now. So when I heard it, I was like, okay. So I went back to my room, and I took my paper, and I started calculating. 5 marks gone, 10 marks gone. So what will I get now? But in the end, I thought about it. I was like, Priscilla, you're not being very wise. So because Daddy prays for people and they get healed, he says things in church, people come and give testimony. So, I mean, just believe it. So I just decided to let everything go. And after ISI, I was going back home. Then I turned on my phone, and my roommates, my friends, sending congratulations. I was like, hey, have I won a lottery? What is happening in my life? But when I checked, they sent me the list. And by the grace of God, I had passed. I didn't have to rewrite. I didn't have to resist the paper. And I want to thank God very much for doing that in my life. Thank you.
Amen. Give the Lord a shout. We have our final testimony. Let's welcome Debo to share his testimony with us. Please encourage him as he comes on stage.
Good morning, church. My name is Debo, and I want to give a testimony. Firstly, I would like to say First Love Church is the best church in the world. Yes. I traveled home, that's Nigeria, last 2 months, and when I got home, I was wondering how a lot of blessings were coming my way. I didn't know what was happening. Before I realized, my dad said he had a car for me. I was also listening to a message like 2 or 3 days after, and Bishop said something in the Wisdom Impartation Service, How to Become a Wise Man, Part 2. And he said that every young person standing here tonight, you are receiving the ability to be wise. And he said that you are receiving the ability to become the wisest child of your or in your family. And my dad confirmed it. He told me, we were chatting, and he told me that I'm actually the wisest of his children. And I didn't know why he said that. But I was just wondering. And when I listened to the message, I realized that Daddy was actually praying. It was saying it, that you are the wisest of your father's children. He was just praying for us. And I believed it so much. And when I got home, it happened practically. And you see, a lot of things that we see as normal in First Love here, and we see as normal, we go with it. Outside, it is not like that. It's like we have a certain power that we don't know about. And a lot of materials we are open to, or we are given, like messages, books, trainings, most especially the trainings. My dad told me that he has seen a lot of things in me. I actually don't know what I say. And my elder sisters, my older siblings, they come to me whenever they want to go to my dad. They come to me and they tell me that they want to tell my dad something, but they don't know how to tell him. But they have to go through me before they get to him. And when I go to my dad, when I tell my dad whatever they want, my dad just open it to them and give it to them. And I want to say thank you so much, Daddy, for a lot of things that you've said to us, a lot of prayers, a lot of materials that you've given to us. It's so wonderful. Thank you so much, Daddy, and I love you.
Give the Lord a shout for a powerful testimony. How many of you believe that you are becoming the wisest child in your family? Give the Lord a shout. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Word of God. If you're excited, make some noise. Let's welcome Bishop Dagewood Mills.
Hello? Wow. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Let us pray. Just ask God to speak to you this morning. Ask God. You want to become very wise in the Lord. Extremely grateful for the opportunity that we have. We like you. We like to serve you. We're grateful. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you this morning about the most important topic, I believe. So the subject this morning is, you must love the Lord. You must love the Lord. Amen. And I don't know how Ida is able to come up with such wonderful songs just in time. Amen. Tell somebody, you must love the Lord. Matthew 22. Then one of them, in verse 35 to 38, one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. Amen. Now, the very first part says, one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him. Now, the word tempt is like test, to be tested. Okay? Now, Jesus was given a test. And the test was, tell us which commandment is the most important. And the reason why this was a test is because there are more than 5,000 commandments in the Bible. And you know, how would you know which one is the most important? Because where the Bible says, be strong in the Lord, it's also a commandment. When it says, thou shalt not lie, it's also very important. There's nothing you can say is not so important. It's very, very important. So to pick the one That's the test. And honestly, no human being could easily have answered this question the way Jesus did. I'll give you an example. You see, many people call David the king, a man after God's heart. Is that not so? Now, the question about the man after God's heart is that what about David makes him the man after God's heart? It's a question which up to today we ask, everybody has his own opinion about why David is the man after God's heart. Is that not so? Is it because he played instruments? Is it because he was a worshiper? Is it because of the psalms he wrote? Is it because he was a fighter for God? Is it because he wanted to build the house of God? Any preacher who has opportunity to speak will give his idea. So in the same way, if Jesus hadn't answered this question, and we had come up, what's the most important thing? Those who are into singing would have said worship is the most important thing. Because in heaven we'll be worshiping God. Evangelists would have said, going into the whole world to preach the gospel is the most important thing. Shepherds would have said, Jesus said, I'm a good shepherd, so that's the most important thing. It would have been a very long debate, and none of us would have really been able to answer that question correctly. So we want to clap for Jesus this morning for answering this question for us and telling us exactly what is the great commandment. Amen. So now that we know what is the great commandment and the first commandment, the main commandment, all right, now that we know what it is, then we can do it. Why don't you usher the people all the way to the front, please? You are not following instructions. Somebody is not doing the right thing. That is why you are struggling. All the way to the front. All right? Arrangers, see me after. Amen. Now listen. Right. Take away your hands, please, from the sound. Now, back to the first commandment. What is our first commandment? Loving God. Those who want money would have said giving to the Lord is very important. Isn't it true? Everybody have his version. I really thank God for answering this question for us. He's told us. There's no question. I mean, we can't argue. So when I'm sharing with you, you must love the Lord, right? It is very, very clear and very important that you really believe that to love God is a very, very important thing for you. It's more important than anything else. All right? So, when I'm sharing with you, you must love the Lord. I want you to decide today you're going to love the Lord. There are many, many good reasons why loving God is important, but one or two to help you remember all the time. Romans 8:28, which is a verse used when there is a tragedy. All things work together for good. And so on. I mean, how can all things work together for good? Let's tell the truth. How can all things work together for good? Do you understand? Or you don't understand my question? I mean, when a bad thing happens, how can it be good? It only happens in films. when James Bond has been captured, he's taken to the actual place where the bad man is, isn't it? Then he has access to the bad man. Then he sorts him out. Even when somebody dies, it's almost like maybe the bad man's wife, who was also part of the crime, and it's like she helped him, and we don't know how her life will be after. So she dies and it's okay. Then now it's like it's good in a way. Oh, you've not watched films before? Yes. That is how it is like in films. In life, many things don't work out for good. But there is a special promise that you will become like Rambo. You become like James Bond. You become like Tarzan. You become like Superman. Steven Seagal, isn't it? Die Hard, those people. Like every time you come out, and it will work together for your good. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. So, and who will it work together for good for? For who? For those who love God. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. Not for everybody. Not for Christians. Yeah. This is all. And we know that all things work together for good to those who are believers. And to those who know Christ and those whose sins are washed away with the blood of Jesus. Many people have been loved by Jesus but don't love him back. Many men, many Christians don't love. The other day I was praying to the Lord and I told him, I said, Lord, I wouldn't advise you to die for us. This is my personal advice. But since you've already died for us, and I told him I wouldn't advise him to die for us because we are very wicked. And we are really some way about God. Like when we come to church, it's like I'm coming, I'll find a young girl in the church. I hear First Love, Charlie, there are a lot of beautiful girls there. Oh yes, we don't deny that we have beautiful girls in the church. Our church has a lot of beauty and also good marriage material. Good marriage material are best found in First Love Church. Yes. And even our different departments have different qualities. Like if you are marrying a singer, or you are marrying a dancer, or you are marrying a communion star, each type of marriage is affected by. The communion stars have a special slant. Dancing stars are different. I mean, depends on the area. So when you come and you want to marry, you say which department you want from. Receive it in the name of Jesus. So you must love the Lord. You must. I really want you to trust me that, not me, trust the Bible. That it's not like David, which is a man after God's own heart. Me, I always tell you, the reason why David is a man after God's heart, because of this, it's my opinion. This one is God's opinion. Jesus has said, the greatest is the commandment to love God. So, and he says, all things work together for good to them that love God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, if we read from verse 6, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world. Verse 7. This is the wisdom that God had ordained before the world for our glory. And verse 8. Beautiful. Which none of the princes of this world knew. If they had known, they wouldn't have killed Jesus. Verse 9. But it is written, as it is written, eye has not seen. And ear has not heard. My wife said, I shouldn't say ear. Ear has not heard. Neither have it entered into the heart of man. The things which God has prepared for all born again Christians. This is another of those fantastic verses, like it's like amazing, impossible things can happen. you're going to get a beloved that eye has not seen before. Hey! What a beloved. Like you're going to get a marriage with ear has not heard of some before. Yeah. You know, Ida has a song she was singing the other day about, have you heard that I've got a beloved? And I never knew that God would give me such a beloved. Have you heard that song before? Or you want to hear it? I'll let her sing it. Don't worry. Hey! Eye has not heard. Ear has not. Eye has not seen. Sorry. Eye has not heard. Eye has not heard. Hey! Eye has not seen. Look, tell somebody you have not seen what God is going to do for you. Have not seen some before. Yeah. And it has not entered into your heart. Like it has not occurred to you. That's not occurred to you. The things that God has prepared for those who give good offerings. For those who love Him. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, this is what God has. You can't imagine it. Most of the things that I am experiencing in my life, I've not seen before. I've not heard of. Have you ever heard of something called Anakazo Bible Ministry Training? Have you heard of it before? Huh? Never. When you were born, did your parents ever tell you about a place called Anakazo? Have you ever heard of something called Healing Jesus Campaign? Did you hear when you were born they gave you a book, encyclopedia? No. When I just came back from India last week, I was in India. When I got there, an Indian pastor came. You know, he had traveled from another part of India, took a plane, and came to me. And he waited. I was in the restaurant, and he came, and he finally had a chance to see me. He said, "Look," he said to me, "I am a product of Poimano, wow, Makane." And then he showed me. He said, "These are my pictures, crusades, different things that I'm doing. It's your books." So when I heard you were coming here, I flew just to come to you and see you for 2 minutes. Yes. Yes. I never even sat down with him. It has never occurred to me that an Indian would read my book. What God has for you that is coming, you haven't thought about it. Do you believe such things or you don't believe in such things? Write it down and write today's date so that as eye has not seen starts coming up. Each one, you say, you know, I've not seen this before. And I've not heard of something like this before. And it had not occurred to me before. It had not occurred to me before. Some of you have just imagined an average beloved. Somebody who says, "I love you" on the first day that he proposes to you and doesn't say, "I love you" again. But yes, but you have not imagined the lovey-lovey type. Where you would even say, "Charlie, I'm tired of you. I need space to breathe because the love is too much. It's too much." Wow. So these two verses alone, I don't know if you want more, but these two verses alone should show you that loving God is a very wonderful thing. Let's look at Psalm 91. It's a verse, Psalm you all know. Start from somewhere in the middle there. Let's say from verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee. Some of us even know the whole psalm by heart. Verse 11. Please, be with me. He shall give his angels charge over thee. Next. They shall bear thee up. Wonderful. Verse 12. Then thou shalt tread upon a lion and an adder. Hey. A young lion and a dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Hey. Now, look at this one. This is where the magic begins. Because he has set his love upon me. You see, the settings on your love. Today are being reset to direction God. You see, some of you, you have settings. Your love settings are direction Eric. Your settings, direction James. Your love setting, direction Peter. So many relationships. It's all not ending anywhere. Some brothers are even put their, you set your eyes on Teresa. And it's not working out. So now he says, because he has set his love upon me, what's going to happen? Therefore, will I deliver him. Now, if you are part of humanity, one day you will need to be delivered or to be lifted. If you are part of this world. If you are not part of this world, you will need it. But if you are here, ask your neighbor, are you here? Are you with us on this in this world? If you are here, you will one day need somebody to deliver you. We all need help. In fact, your first bath and your last bath are done by somebody. The first time you bath and the last time you bath on earth. They are all done by others. I don't know why you are so proud. Your first bath and your last bath are done by others. The first time you scrub, and then the last time you scrub is by others. Yes. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore, I will deliver him. Then what? I will set him on a high. I'll set him on high because he has known my name. The next one. He shall call upon me and I will answer. Even all of us in our little worlds and our small lives, people call. A lot may call, but you may not answer. How many times have you had a call and you look and you say, I won't answer? Raise your hand if you, are you God, but you still said you won't answer. Small boy like you say you won't answer. Huh? Small boy like you say you won't answer the call. Even you, there are some calls you don't answer. One time my phone was ringing and somebody ran with the phone to me. Run. And when the brother, I said, look, I cannot answer this call. I cannot answer this call. But God says, I will answer. And I will deliver him. And I will honor him. Wow. and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Look at it again, verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me. So loving God, very important. Tell somebody, you must love the Lord. Amen. Now, Paul was praying for Christians in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause, Ephesians 3:14, I bow my knees to the Father of Jesus Christ. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you, this is the prayer Apostle Paul is praying. For the Christians in the church of Ephesus. Amen. It says, I am praying for you that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Okay? And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, you see, you must be rooted and grounded in love. Your love for God and your Christian love, your love for God, number one, you must be deeply rooted in it. In other words, your root is the foundation and the reason for all the things you are doing. Your roots are in love, not in lust. You see, when you are relating to a female, if you are a male, and the root of your relationship is lust, it doesn't go far. If you love somebody because of his money or his power, you don't love him well. The root of your love is not go, the root of your relationship is not love. Yes. You know, the other day, somebody was telling me about a discussion that was being held at a hairdressing salon. How many hear a lot of things at a hairdressing salon? A lot of talking there, you know, all ladies, you know, chatting. And one of the ladies was saying that, She doesn't have heartbreaks. She doesn't have any heart problems. Because she didn't marry out of love. She married for the man's money and security. But her sisters, they married out of love. That's why they have a lot of problems. She was saying that the reason or the root of their marriage is different from hers. They married because they love the guy. So they have a lot of heart issues. But she doesn't have any heart issues because she just wanted the money and she has it. Husband has given her child 1, 2 money, whatever, then he's on the move. And that's all. So she doesn't have chest pains. How many would like somebody to marry you for your money? That is why it's important to get your beloved around this age and not when you become powerful or important. It's very difficult for a powerful person to be sure that somebody loves you. When you are rich, you never know why people love you. I'm sure President Mahama has got a lot of people who are his friends today that were not his friends before. Everybody will say, I know him, you know, I know him. Yeah. My classmate, my friend, my this, my that. Hey. NDC have a lot of friends because they are in power. If NPP wins, a lot of friends will come to NPP who are not friends with them today. But what is the root of it? So, brothers and sisters, we need... Paul was praying that we should be rooted in love. Rooted. Your roots should be inside love. Your love for God. Don't come to church for money. Don't come to church for entertainment. Don't come to church because it's a tradition. They say we should come. Don't come to church because somebody is forcing you. Don't sit here and say, you are lucky that I even came today. Mikra, I wasn't going to come. I don't know why I came. That is why it's not so easy to recommend people to get married, because later on they may say, the pastor told me to marry her. I didn't find her beautiful. She was too short for me. I wanted a taller person. They joined us together. So Paul said that this was his prayer, that you being rooted and grounded in love. My relationship with my wife was rooted and grounded in love, not in... I never gave her anything. A relationship, about this, but it was later that I heard people buy shoes, people buy clothes, people... I never knew such things existed. It was just the human being is nice and you are happy with the person. It was later that I heard that people are doing such things. Yeah. If that is the kind of relationship that then your marriage is rooted in what you can get and what the person can do. You look at somebody who is proposing to you. You look at somebody like you, and you wave your hand up and down. Look at it. He's proposing to me. Look at somebody. Hey. In our days, some years ago, because it's still my day, I'm still around. Yeah. Look, it was because of love. That was our problem, that we just had love. I remember a certain graduate from, I think, UST or one of these universities. Yes. She fell in love with the tailor in the area. Yeah, the local tailor who is in a kiosk in the area. And I think she was either a pharmacist or something. Hey! She said she loves him. The love was fantastic. I don't know whether she went to a skirt or something, then it was like... But you see, nowadays, such a person may not easily fall in love with the local tailor. It's like, oh, he's below me. Below you. Tell somebody, I'm being rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18. This is Paul praying, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You can't think too far to understand. Beat your head and say, I don't think I can. can go so far to understand the love of Christ. It's too much. Hey! And no. I don't understand. It passes knowledge. That's what it means. I don't take understanding of too far. It means it passes knowledge. It's the same thing they are saying. I don't get the understanding of it. I don't get it when I think about it. When you have a reason for loving somebody, let's talk about belovedosis. When you have a reason for loving somebody, that love has not passed knowledge. It's like, I know you have a British passport. So when I marry you now, by the grace of God, I shall be in the UK. You see, your love has not passed knowledge. Your love is including the knowledge. Well, sir, I love you because you bought a car for me. But when you think about Christ loving you, can you find a good reason? I'm asking whether you can find a good reason. Oh, this one is like this, this one is like this one. There's no good reason. Somebody like you and somebody like me. Look at this boy. Put his picture back on the screen. What is his name? Rodney. Put his picture. Look at it. When you see this picture, you say, hey, Satan, get thee behind me. Recently, I met another brother in Botswana. He told me, he showed me his picture. I couldn't believe it. Full Rasta man. Managing this one, you were working in nightclubs. Yes. Now you ask yourself that the love of Christ is that God is loving people. Maybe it's like God who runs. I love three virgins here. I love two virgins over here. I love these pure ones over there. But I said, no. No. The love of Christ has no knowledge, reason about. So when you love somebody, and so,
I love you because you are a pharmacist. I love you because of your round distance. The round distance that I don't know how the English word to say express it. Like, I usually like around something that I'm seeing.
What about when the person loses weight and that thing is gone? And what about if what you are seeing is not real? I'm asking you, what about if it is not real? So, when your love has no reason, but you still love, then you are getting to this kind of love which passes knowledge. You can't think too far to understand why. Do you get it? I don't understand why you like me. Why? That's the love of God. Now, many times as a shepherd and a pastor, I can see that I love the people. I feel for the people. Sometimes I cry for the people. And you ask yourself, why? One time I was praying for somebody and I just burst out crying. The person was shocked. I just started crying because I was praying for something and it was just too difficult. But you ask yourself, the thing that you are praying for, you have it already. You don't need it. So see, that kind of love which hasn't got any good reason. That's this type of love we are talking about. The love that passes knowledge. And that's the kind of love, like the God we haven't seen. Sometimes what we don't even like and God gives to us. They say, have this one. Suffer with this. And so I still love God. I don't have any reason, but I love God. I choose God and I love God. Then you are becoming more rooted. So whether I'm rich or I'm poor, I love God. That's the love of God. He doesn't need to give me anything. I don't need ever to have anything, but I love God. That's the love of God. But when it's like, oh, I need to, well, God has blessed me. God has given me a nice house. God has given me money. God, oh, I love, really love God. God, He's really blessing me and prospering me. That's not this love I'm talking about. If you kindly put the scripture back on. Yes. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If we want to have all of God, you want to have all the fullness, like everything that God has. When we say the fullness of God, is all that God has is the fullness of God. Because everybody has a lot of things to give. It depends on what you are going to get from the person. God has more than you think He has. And you can be filled with the fullness of God when you know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So my prayer for you is that you will love the Lord. And those who can get to the place of love, it's a journey. If you can get to the place of loving God, the things that you are praying for, you won't even pray. Many things I don't pray for. I don't even pray for. I don't even pray for. Lord, I want this. I want this. I want this. Give me this. Give me this. I want this. Find one person who loves you. You won't ask him for anything. Really, a person who loves you, never ask him for anything. He himself knows what you need. Or not true. Yeah. Find one person who loves you. Just a human being. Who loves you. Like parents who love their children. The parents are thinking about things. Of course, some parents don't really care for their children. But many parents care for their children. Find a God who loves you. You won't even pray. Take it from me. You won't even pray for. Give me, give me, give me, give me. He has already arranged for you. Amen. And verse 20. That you will be rooted and... Sorry, the verse before. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Amen. Of the love of God. Tell somebody, you must love the Lord. You must love the Lord because it's the greatest commandment. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. What does that mean? You don't know? Is it not English you are reading there? It's English. In English, let me read it to you from the NIV. Everyone who believes, can you find a way of turning off the ham? Find out be active and move around during the service and solve the problem of hams. All right? It is just a hammock thing, please. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. All right? That's what it means. If you love the Father, you love the child as well. All right? Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. When we love God and keep his commandments. Amen. This is the love of God. You see, this is how to love God. I'm showing you how do you love God? This is how to love God. That we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. His commandments to you are not grievous, are not painful, are not wicked. Amen. This is the love of God. This is how to love God. This is the love of God. Amen. That we keep his commandments. What God says to you, do. And let me tell you one of the characteristics about God's commandments. They are not grievous. No. Since I became a Christian, I have not had any grievous commandment from the Lord. Yes. There is nothing. You see, somebody said, it costs so much to serve God. It costs so much to serve God. Look, it costs too much more not to serve him. Not serving him costs more. It costs so much. I'm suffering to serve God. Don't be silly. Not serving God and not loving God is far more costly. Try it and see. You want to use your life? Is there anybody here who wants to be a lamb of God to use your life as a sacrifice and an experiment? Do you want to experiment one life you have? Is that not what the song said? One life, one short life or something? One life? You're going to use your life as an experiment? How long will you live? How many chances will you have? You're so short life, you're going to find out whether you should marry an unbeliever or not. That which one is good or not good. You are going to use your life as the experiment, the Lamb of God. Congratulate the person next to you and say, I hear you are the Lamb of God who is about to be sacrificed as a new experiment to find out whether the word of God is true. Hey! His commandments are not difficult. But I really love them. I love James. James. Look, it's more difficult to marry James than to break up with James. Breaking up with James will take you 23 units. Marrying James will be about 1,023 units of suffering. Being with James as James's wife. 1,023 units of suffering. But breaking up is going to cost you just 23. Yes. So the love of God is to keep his commandment. Whatever God says to you, right, just start to align everybody and what he says he likes. And God is showing us that to love God, whom you cannot see, you cannot touch, you cannot feel. When you pray, he doesn't speak any words back. How to love this invisible God is what the Bible says. John 14:21. He that has my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. He that has my commandment and keeps them. the one who has my word and keeps it. He's the one who loves me. Not the worshippers. There are a lot of worship people who make CDs. They don't love God. Many of them don't love, not many, and some of them don't love God. He that has my commandment, not he that worships, or he that makes worship music and sings, you love Jesus, love, love of Jesus. It means that he loves God. Some of them are just joining words together. They are sewing, like sewing different pieces of material together. You must love the Lord. Amen. You must love the Lord. Amen. Now, the commandments of God are coming, number one, from the Bible. Decide to be a God lover, a Bible obeyer. My dear spiritual mother who brought me up, you know, in Achimota school. Anything I was going to do, she asked me, why are you doing it? And I said, because of this. Then she would say, no, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. Everybody say after me, the Bible says.
The Bible says.
Yes. And then she would say also, what verse is that? In other words, everything you are doing, you must have a verse. I'm going to marry Ni Odate. What verse is that? So, from today, every commandment of God in your life and for your life, decide, I'll do it. It's how you love God. That's how you show that you love Him. So, I'm just saying, I'm here to worship. No, obey Him. Obey Him. He that has my commandment and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved of by my Father. Amen. How many love God? 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, or love for God. You see, love of God, you can often interchange the word of for. Because the love of God has to do like anything in relation to love and God. So love of God includes love for God. Includes loving God, love God, love of God, includes love for God, God's love for you is all part of love of God. Whenever you see the word love of God, it means your love for God or God's love for you. Because it's the love of God or related to God. Are you understanding? Hereby perceive we the love of God. And in this case, it's the love that God had for us. Because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 17. Whoever has this world's good and seeth his brother having need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? You can never say you love God. My little children, verse 18. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue. In other words, not just singing it. Ida can sing 1,000 years of you must love the Lord, but that does not mean she loves God. Curtis may sing fall in love with you again. That does not mean that he loves God. I love those songs. I choose it any day. Because it's about loving God. It's my favorite. My favorite is I'm glad about that. My favorite is becoming loving God. And I'm glad that it's the most important commandment too. It's becoming my favorite. When she sang that song, I said, oh, that's my favorite. Because it's about loving the Lord. Yes. Are you there? My little children, not about raps. So, Charlie, I love you. I love you, baby. Talk is cheap. Look, I'll show you. All the girls on the road, listen. I love you. 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 Surely, there's nothing. It's nothing. It's easy. I just say and I'm moving. Ha! Cheap! To lift your hand and say, how I love you, Lord. You're my all in all. Easy. Look, I just finished loving that section. I'm come to this side. I love you. 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 Look in my eyes. So, girls, I love you. 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 I've loved section 1, section 2, and section 3. Free, and I'm moving free of charge. The question you should be asking is, what do you mean by that? You say you love me. What do you mean by that? God is equally asking, what do you mean by that? You say you love me. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Has he called you? Has he asked you to even just be an usher? To do something in the house of God?
I'll be watching pornography on Saturday evening, so I can't come to, what do you call it?
Saturday night pornography. Why? Sit down. One day, one of my pastors went to Commonwealth Hall and they were watching one of these type of films. Yeah. All the boys have gathered, a large crowd, they were watching. No. And at a point, all of them became quiet. Crossing their legs as a group instead of coming to help at the outreach. Every Saturday, if you are not at outreach, our first service, you are in the wrong place. You are in the wrong place. Oh, I'm not that evangelistic type. I'm just a Christian. You are a what? You are just a Christian. Tell your neighbor, you are joking, eh? You are joking. First Love Church is about loving God first. Tell your neighbor, you are changing from today. You are changing. How many are changing from today? Yeah. The benefits of loving God are too much. Yes, too much. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Those who love God, what he's going to do for them. You can't imagine it. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, interview your neighbor. Say, can I know your name, please? I want to know. So you at all, where are you from? Ask the person, where are you from? So what do you do in the church? We need you to love God in this church. We need you to love God in this church. Is it amazing? My little children, let us not love God with raps and songs, talking, but in deeds. Where are your deeds of love? Where are your deeds of love? Charlie, I pray you never marry a loveless person. Look, there are some people, if you marry them, it's what we call love zero. Yes. You know, Some people, if you meet them, they'll not even give you a hug. Or they'll say, oh, hello. Like they've met or beloved husband and wife. Hi. It's called Love Zero. You wait and see. You be in the house, Love Zero. And you say, do you love me? They'll say, yes. When you say, I love you, they say, me too. This is love with raps, but deeds, zero. There are couples who lie in their beds, looking up into the darkness. One is lying on the far side, one is on this side. And then this one says, do you love me? Say, I do. And then the next moment they are sleeping. That's all. It's just talking. Love zero. If I give my heart to you, what will you do with it? Will you love me back? That's what Jesus is asking you today. You know, I'm speaking on his behalf today. He says that if I give my heart to you, if I give my love to you, will you love me? Will you like me back? The other day I was praying, I told the Lord, I wouldn't advise you to die for anybody again because I've seen people are weak. We are wicked. We don't love God. We don't care about God. The other day somebody was telling me, these are not the organizations. They come to a country, I think it was Guinea. They come, they are building 700 mosques. It's like for their, what they believe in. And in Ghana, another organization built 1,000. Yes. And we are here. And you see, Christians, we don't really love God or whatever. If you fly on a plane that belongs to the other people, they have a place where they've removed the seats for prayer. Where they bend down and they pray to their God. Oh, yes. Publicly. But Christians, even if they are in political power, you never know whether he's a Christian or not. You'll be playing games around, never do anything for Christianity. People who have power and money, you never see them showing that I am a God lover. Oh yeah. If somebody's come and built 700 temples for the God that I believe in. And one thing that you are even trying to build as a Christian, you see that even Christians are fighting you. Amazing. You suggest to Christians, go here, go into all the world. Other religions, they like only poor places. So you don't see them in the city. So they take it. You see, there are some people that have targeted in Ghana from Techiman upwards. They are not interested in that whole place is for them. I tell you, they've targeted, if you know Ghana, from Techiman up. And many countries like that, it's like that. Christians, who you call Christians, you call as if you are going to be a missionary, or if you are going to serve, it's like you are some extremist or whatever. Just normal Christianity, normal love. Nothing bad is happening to you. Just to love God who loves you. It's fantastic. I don't like God. No wonder the poverty and difficulties are so many. And that those scriptures that all things work together for, they are not working for Christians. Things are not working together for, they are working together to be worse. Many times I look like I'm some extremist about God. I'm not an extremist. If you were to see my marks in heaven, you may be surprised. And I don't know how your marks will also be in heaven. Ask your neighbor, what are your marks like in heaven? Huh? The Bible says by faith, the elders obtain a good report. There's a report. They are filling your points as we speak. Yeah. Finally. Oh, before finally. 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. Straight. All those who fight and quarrel, and you say you love God, you are a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Huh? One of the ways we can see if people love God is how they behave to their brother. Not to your child. There are some automatic loves that they are working. You don't have to do anything. Your child, your friend, your beloved. It's the common line. We are not talking about your beloved or your child. Or, that is not his love. Your brother, your Christ, just a believer. Your love for the person. I mean, look at you, quarreling, fighting, beastly, whatever. So,
fall in love with you again. I just fall in love with you, oh Lord. Fall in love with you.
Love you. You sister, you come to the church. I'm not coming to the church again because my beloved was taken by another. This thing. I don't know how to explain it. There was somebody in the church. He has taken him. But he did not propose to you. You see, that's why we say, don't hear beloved those before you are proposed to. I don't like this. Sisters, you know yourself. You have vibrations amongst you. You don't flow with this. Charlie, brothers, let me tell you a secret. Brothers, are you listening? There are some sisters, and when you marry them or you enter a relationship with them, you have entered their zones of quarrel. Yes. It is that there that you see that the love they have for you is exclusive. It's exclusive of certain people and certain worlds. Yeah. So when you enter their life, you have actually entered into captivity because there are many sections you can no more befriend. What I'm saying is true or not true. So as you are entering, say you are going in, you are going into captivity. But the first love sisters are not like that. No. Hey, you won't shout amen. I said the first love sisters are not like that. Captivity. Hey. Hebrews chapter 6. God, verse 10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love which you have shown toward his name. Your love that you have shown toward his name, the name of Christ, the name of God. The things you have done on behalf of God, for God. Your labor of love. You see, love has labor. That's why sometimes when you marry a phlegmatic, you may enjoy the phlegmatism because you flow more easily, but you will not enjoy the laziness. Because love involves labor. The labor of love. How to get up early. Did you hear the song about the virtuous woman? I'll get up early. I'll do this. Yes. I'll bring food from afar. If you marry a lazy person, you all be boys in the house. There will be no food. Because it involves labor to organize food. Labor. Sex involves labor. Hey! Shall I read the verse again? God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love you have showed towards his name. Loving God involves hard work. Hard. I just came from a camp last night. Yes. I've been throughout the week and I'm leaving. I go again this week. As soon as I finish, I'm at the crusade. Yes. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, your love for him, his name. We are waiting for people to show love towards the name of God. And I tell you, there's a lot to learn from our brothers who are building 700 temples. 1,000 from Techiman upwards. The whole of Guinea, the whole of Burundi, they've come in as NGOs. This is our work, to build, finance, not by the local people. God will not forget. God will not forget all the churches I've tried to build in his name. He will not forget it. It's a wicked person who will forget, but God will not forget. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor, your work, and your labor of love which you have showed toward his name. In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Amen. Let me continue. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, verse 9. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. It's not a good vision to be rich. It's a good side effect, but it's not a good vision. It's good as a side effect, but it's not good as a vision. They fall. Most people who want to be fall into temptation and a snare. And a snare means an unexpected trap. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now notice verse 10. I love this. It says, for the love of money. You see, it's what you love that is really who you are. The love of money is the root of all evil. The lack of roads in Ghana, is the root of it is the love of money. Lack of hospital, the root of it is the love of money. Lack of electricity in Ghana, the root is the love of any evil in the world. The root is any problem in the church. The root is the love of money. Lack of church buildings. The root, the source, the problem is love of money. Which some have coveted after, and they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves. Look at the next verse. But thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after what? Follow righteousness, godliness, faith, and love. Follow love. So don't give yourself to the love of money, but give yourself to love. And which love? The love of God. You're supposed to follow love, but not love of money. Read it again from verse 10. Look at it. Everybody, look, we are in church. Oh. Look at Bibles. The love of money is the root of all evil. Some followed after they fell into what? Pierced themselves with many sorrows. Huh? Many sorrows. But you, man of God, flee such loves and follow after faith, righteousness, godliness, and love again. But not obviously the love of money. As for money, you will have it. Money, you will have it. You see, look, he said, I will deliver him. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. What God is going to do? Nobody who has ever served God and loved God has been poor. In the Bible, you will never be poor in Jesus' name. I said, you'll never be poor in Jesus' name. And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This verse is the concluding verse, and it's the verse that shows you how. How many want to show God that you love him? Wow. Well, you said you wanted to show God, so. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Therefore, as you are bound in everything. Huh? He's talking about giving. Oh, let's read from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, how that in a trial of affliction and abundance, out of your deep poverty, abounded to the riches of your liberality. Change this verse to another version, please. Another version, NIV. Or something. They are being tested by troubles and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. Everybody say generosity. Generosity. Amen. Generosity. Next verse. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it. They did it how? Of their own free will. Amen. Is it not amazing? Beautiful. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They begged us, please give us a chance. Huh? Verse 5, they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first. And then by the will of God, they gave themselves also to us. So we urged Titus, as he had done earlier, to bring also to completion this act of grace. All right, verse 7. I love this part. Look at it. We are ending with this verse. We don't need to end, but we are, well, why should we spend 8 hours watching video and then only 30 minutes in church? Since you excel in everything in faith, you are good at faith, speech, knowledge, complete earnestness, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Verse 8. I love it. Back to the King James. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. Forwardness of others. And to prove the sincerity of your love. Giving is a way to prove the sincerity of your love. Yes, to prove your love. So everybody here must become a giver. Loving God includes giving. Learn how to give. If you have your salary or your money, calculate 10%, 12%. That even your offering, you can give your offering everything once. Yeah. You can just, look, I've done it for the month. When you do that, giving becomes easy. You see, there's no commandment of God which is grievous. If it's grievous, there's something wrong about what you are doing. It's quite easy when you start to do it that way. It is where you are not doing it well. The things become so complex. Even fornication, all this is, you may be struggling. You'll be surprised that because you don't obey the command of God to marry or to marry early, it becomes so difficult for you to even walk in purity. Now, the actual commandment of God is not that you shouldn't have sex, but you should have sex here. So the commandment of God is not grievous, but you are not serving him. Well, that's why it's so hard. Giving is not hard. Giving money is not hard. If you know how to do it at the beginning, oh, it becomes the easy. Because I give all the time, I don't notice that I'm giving. I don't notice it. It's just like, oh God, sheesh. I've done a calculation. No, it's just automatic. Automatic tithing. I learned it many more than 30 years ago. Automatic tithing. Tithing 10%, 12%, 20%. It just goes. I don't think about it. It's not part of the calculation. You become an automatic giver. And it proves the sincerity of your love. Proves it. You cannot, you see, let me tell you something. Who believes in prosperity? If we are, which part of here is poor? I'm asking you a question. Which part of us is poor? Which part of is here? There's nothing poor here. There's nothing poor here. Many times God has told me, give to other churches, other ministries. Help this person. Yeah. Build for this person, rather. There is no way else easier set by God to prove the sincerity of your life. This small money that your mother gave you, your father gave you, you are struggling over it. You see, it shows that you don't love God in a certain way. An easy commandment for you is show the sincerity of your love by giving. From today, no matter how poor you are, you don't start giving as a rich man. You start giving as a poor person. You start giving when you have nothing. That's when you start giving. Later on, it becomes more, 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 more. And you will notice the level of your finances going up as you give. You will notice that I could never give 10 CDs. I only gave coins. But by the grace of God, I don't give less than 10 CDs. Yes. Then the time will come, you say, I don't give less than. You know, one day I was somewhere with Bishop Duncan Williams. And there were some people there, and he just called them and he blessed them. The way he blessed the people taught me something. I said, this is what to do. This is what to do. Yes. I realized I didn't know how to give. Yes, how to give. I learned it. I saw, no, there's something wrong with the way you give. In some of us, we have never been with somebody who gives. So you don't know that you are stingy. One time I was with him on a flight. He called the person who was selling things and called and bought something and gave it to me. He just did shopping for me. Yeah, for you. Yeah. It was just wonderful to me. I was learning how to be healed of stinginess. Some of you have never been with somebody who gives. One sister told me, she said, you know, when she first came to the church, she never gives less than she gives a bundle. So every time she gives a bundle, then one day she looked around and said, people were looking at her. Because everybody has squeezed the offering, has entered the fist. And she was holding it like this. Unfortunately, she rather learned from those who have squeezed their hand. You need to be around givers. You learn how to give. Some of us, we are moving too much with people don't know how to give. They don't know how to give things. Your way of giving is less than it should be. And it reduces your love for God and reduces the blessing of your life. Oh yes. No, that day was a major lesson to me. I cannot give you the detail, but he blessed them like that. Nobody, all of them, not any pastor, nothing, just you. And I was just standing and watching. It would never have occurred to me to do that. Although I could have. You see, many of us, it has not occurred to us what we could do. Although we could, but like it hasn't entered our mind that I can do this. Yes. Many of you, when you see a beggar, the only thing that occurs to you is to give him a coin. But you've not seen somebody take a beggar and give the beggar even 50 CDs before. Somebody standing by the roadside, 50 CDs. It has not occurred to you before. Even if you had it like, oh, there are only a coin. 20 pesos. Or a very spoiled one CD note. Even in church, it doesn't occur to you. Like you see, like us, we were building the church. We don't ask for anything. We have not raised funds. Nothing. It should have occurred to me. I want to pay for this. I would like to pay for this. What is this? How much is this? Is there something I can do? What can I do to prove the sincerity of my love for my God? You know, it is a rare thing to find people who love God. The man who owns this land here, the man who owns this land, if you ask how much people are selling land, you'll be shocked. Here, how much is this land? You'll be shocked. When I found the owner of this land, we called him. And he said, Bishop needs this land. Tell him it's for him. I'm giving him the land. When I heard it, listen, when I heard, I started crying. I said, they're crying because I'm not used to people loving God. You should hear the amount in dollars that they are selling land. Even this little spot here. When he said, I started crying. He said, Bishop, this my land is for him. He should do it, the church with it. I started crying. Because all through the work, rarely do you find people who prove the sincerity of their love for God with giving. They'll be looking at you like that. It's like the church rather should give you something. Look at the hawkers outside. They've all come like vultures. Everybody's come to drink the blood of the church, what we can get from the church. All the people in the area, look, what can they get from us? May God touch your heart to love him. You see the blessing of God through your love for him. Stand to your feet. It's taking you a long time to stand up. It's like, that you may prove the sincerity of your love. Yeah. Lift your hand and speak to the Lord. Tell him you love him. Tell him that you're going to show him that you love him from today. Tell him you love him. You're going to show him that you love him. You're going to serve him. With all your heart. Tell him you're going to join the dancing stars. You're going to join the acting stars, the drama stars, the film stars. Tell him you're going to join the airport stars. Tell him you're going to do something. Tell him that he will not find you relaxing on Saturday evening again. Tell him that on Sunday morning you are going to show him that you love him by winning souls and bringing people to Jesus. Tell him you love him. Tell him you show him you love him from today. Lift your hand and thank him. Father, thank you for the blessing and the blessedness of serving you and loving you all the days of our life. We give you praise, we give you thanks, and we give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God, to Jesus. Help me to know God. Help me to know Jesus as my Savior. I want to know Jesus. Maybe somebody invited you to church, but deep down in your heart you are far from God and you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know God and I want to love God and I want to also serve God. If you are here like that, Pastor, help me to know Jesus today, then lift your right hand wherever you are standing. Just stand there, but lift your hand up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You know in your heart you are far away from God. Yes, you are in church, but you know where you stand between you and God. And you are saying, today, God, I want to settle with you. I want to serve you. I want you to wash away my sins. God bless you. I see all your hands. So many hands up this morning. If you've lifted your hand, I want you to come to me in the front. Come, come, just come, 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 come. Come to this, come to this front here. Come, come from the side. Come from the back. Give him
your life today.
Come on, my friend.
Come on to Jesus.
Let him have his way.
Let him have his way.
Come on, Jesus. Come to Jesus.
Come on to Jesus.
As every head is bowed and every eye closed, before I pray, you are here and you are a Christian, but you are not a good Christian. Like, you are not really a serious Christian. But from today, you want to say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but not a good Christian. I want to be a good Christian, a serious Christian from today. If you are here like that, lift up your hand as well, quickly, and come to the front. Come, come, come from where you are. Lift your hand up quickly and come and join them. I want to pray. I'm a Christian, but not a serious, not a good Christian. I want to be a good Christian from today. Come on, my friend. I want to pray. Before I pray, I need you also to come.
Give him your life today. Come on to Jesus.
This prayer, say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. From today, I open my heart. I give my heart to Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, please accept me as your child. Please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me and cleanse me from all my wickedness, all my sins, all my bad things. I confess to you, from today, wash me with the blood of Jesus. Write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. From today, I belong to Jesus. I belong to God, and I will serve God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. I love you. I thank you. In Jesus' name. Now lift your right hand. Say, Satan. Satan. Listen carefully. From today, I rebuke you. I reject you. I curse you. I have nothing to do with you. From today, I am a child of God. I belong to God. And I will serve God. Lift your two hands like this. Say, Jesus, thank you for choosing me to serve you. Now, all of you, just worship the Lord. How I love Jesus.
How I love you.
How I love Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Come on.
Oh, how I love Jesus. He first loved me.
Can you all sing it? How I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
How I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
sing it for the last time. How I love.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Tell him you love him.
Jesus.
Tell him you love him.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Tell him you love him.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he must love me. Say, I love Jesus. Oh.
Father, thank you. We love you because you first loved us. But Lord, truly, we are not loving you very well. So we are sorry about that. But from today, we want you to help us to love you and love you nicely so that you will not be brokenhearted for the great love you've shown us. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm giving you one of my books here. This is a gift. The normal price of this book is 40 CDs. But it is a gift for you today. I want you to take it home and read it. How to pray to the God who loves you. Amen. Amen. How to pray to the God who loves you. Amen. Wow. Do you know that today may be one of the best messages I ever preached in my lifetime? Yes. To love God. You must love the Lord. Now, when we close, all of you who are holding this book, I'm going to have a special meeting arranged for you. And I just need you to come. It's going to take about 2 minutes. As soon as we close, we are just about to close. Where those people are sitting over there. Yeah. You are they to come now or after church? You come there for another 5 minutes and then you go home if you are holding this book. Okay, if you go without coming, then it means what? Satan has already started to fight you, but he will never succeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? How many love Jesus today? Come on.
I love Jesus.
Can you sing it, everybody? How I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh,
how I love Jesus.
Because
he first loved me.
All right, you may go back to your seats. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. Now, you may be seated. It's time for us to receive our communion very quickly. And our miracle. It's miracle time. Communion time is miracle time. Amen. Now, Elijah is somebody. Are you listening to me? Are you there? Elijah, the great prophet Elijah, he had an opportunity to travel in his day, but there were no flights. And an angel appeared to him and gave him some food to eat. Amen. And when the angel gave him the food, he said, "Eat." And he ate it. And the Bible says he went in the strength of that meat for 40 days. So what you eat can make you very strong. Huh? He went in the strength of it for 40 days. 40 days. Take out your bread, everybody. Through this meat, you are going to go in strength for 40 days and beyond. Do you believe that? sons of God.
Brothers, sisters, we are one, and our lives have just begun. In the Spirit, we are young.
Of the bread. Father, we thank you that as we declare that this is now the body of Jesus, it supernaturally is converted by faith into the body. And you said, whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. As we eat this bread and we take this blood, we declare and receive life into our lives. We declare and receive invigoration into our lives. We declare receive energy. We receive long life, additional years to our years. We receive healing to every organ in our bodies. We thank you that whatever pain is in us is cured as we take this communion. In the name of Jesus, whatever cannot be found in Christ cannot be found in us from today. In Jesus' name, we receive the miracle of healing of sexually transmitted diseases. Any disease we have received through having sex, any fear we have received through having sex with anybody, whether HIV or hepatitis, gonorrhea or any unusual disease or virus, in the name of Jesus, we declare healing of all these diagnoses. Anything that shortens life is cured today as we take this communion. In the mighty name of Jesus, every form of accident and injury to take away, shorten our life or cause us to have pain and disability is blocked as we receive this communion today. Thank you, Father, for the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Now, this is now declared to be the blood of Jesus. Your word says, O Lord, that my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink. As we drink, whatever sin or mistake you have made is wiped away by this blood. Whatever evidence against you, against your future, against your life, every crime, sin you have committed by the blood, it is declared erased in Jesus' name. Now, when wickedness is coming to your house, because of this blood, you are declared an escapee from every wickedness. Whatever has targeted you this week, next week and the weeks after, because of the blood that is raised today, you are declared a person that escaped a great evil.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame.
Let's all sing together.
And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was laid. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Oh, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for the.
There is power in the blood of Jesus.
There is power. There is power. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power. There is power.
Receive power into your life. The Lamb of God.
There is power. There is power. There is power in the blood of Jesus.
Lay your hand on your. Thank you for the wonder working power.
Wonder working.
Thank you for wonder working power.
In the blood.
Receive healing. Any unfortunate thing in your life, crowned today by the blood of the Lamb. Any unfortunate thing in your life, I drown it. For the children, for the children's sake. For the children's sake, Lord. For the children's sake. Let it be drowned. Wickedness, let it be drowned. Yay! Sudden death, let it be drowned. Wickedness, let it be drowned. Evil spirit, let it be drowned in the blood. Every wicked target in an ambush, a snare, let it be drowned. By the blood, the wonder-working blood of the Lamb. Receive divine deliverance.
There is power.
My God.
There's power. There's wonder working power in the precious blood.
Lift your hand and receive your blessing. You are declared victorious.
Amen.
Over all scorpions, serpents, painful things,
amen.
Poisons,
amen.
Wickedness,
amen.
Sudden death,
amen.
Diseases,
amen.
Accidents,
amen.
Unfortunate situations,
amen.
Poverty,
amen.
Family troubles,
amen.
Are drowned in the blood of Jesus today. Whatever bad news is coming your way, it is blocked today by the blood,
amen.
Of the Lamb. Whatever bad news is coming by a WhatsApp or a text or a phone call, it is blocked in the name of Jesus. Whatever you have been waiting for a long time, your long awaited miracle, receive it today in the name of Jesus. Receive your long awaited miracle today in the name of Jesus. God is establishing you. On this wise you shall bless the children. And therefore I declare blessings upon you. Whatever height you couldn't rise to, I declare you are rising to that height now. Whatever mistake you have made that brought you down, you are lifted up back to the height you were before. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All men shall look at you and say, there is something about this one. There is something about this one. There is a blessing on this child. There is a blessing on this child. You are declared 10 times wiser. You are declared to be the best of your father's children. You are the best of your father's children. You are the best of your father's children. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. None of the children listening to me will be failures in this life. None of them will be disappointments. To their parents or to anyone that looks at them. In the name of Jesus Christ. There will never be a source of concern. A source of problem. A source of discussion. A source of meetings. No. There will be a source of blessing to their family. You are declared a blessing for your family. You are the good news in your family. You are the good news in your family. You are covered and protected from demons and devils by the blood of the Lamb. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lift your hand and thank God for your blessing today. Oh yes, power!
That's a wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power.
Oh yes. Oh, yes.
Wonder working power in the blood.
In the blood of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb. There is power.
Power. Yes.
There's wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
You may be seated in the name of Jesus.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Guy Kewitt Mills, please visit our website at www.guykewittmills.org. God richly bless you.